This is the Word of Truth broadcast, sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Shelton, Jr. speaking. We count the privilege to be able to come in your home again today with the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in John's Gospel, chapter 16, beginning with verse 7. Our Lord said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Let us pray. Our Father, we thank thee that thou dost leave us on the pages of Holy Writ, that thou hast sent thy Spirit to deal effectually with our hearts. We give thee thanks and give thee praise and honor and glory today that the Lord Jesus Christ bought this gift for us by his death, burial, and resurrection. And for his reward, when he went back to glory, he sent the Spirit to deal with our hearts and to bring us unto himself. Oh, we thank you, blessed Father, that it's the love gift of thee and thy Son, the gift of thy Spirit to our hearts. And so we pray that he will do his work, as only he can do in our midst this day. For it is in Christ's name that we pray and ask. Amen.
Love me thine, all of it telling, joy of heaven's earth come down. It's in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercy crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion,
salvation, in grace.
We say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. My dear friends, we praise God for each and every one of you. We delight in getting your letters and hearing of God's workings in your soul, and we look forward to hearing from you this week. When you write, ask for your free book that we're giving away this month, entitled Hebrews. It is a commentary on the book of Hebrews by Godfrey Wilson, a contemporary writer. He goes in and shows the teaching of the book of Hebrews, of how the Lord Jesus Christ is shown to be far greater than all of the Old Testament types and shadows. We'll be happy to send you a free copy of this book if you'll write for it. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. Would you write for your copy today? Ask for it by name, Commentary on the Book of Hebrews. And now for God's message. Dear friends, in continuing this series of messages on the subject that God has given us to speak on at this time, if I had one message to bring, it would be this one that God has laid upon my heart for today on the necessity of the work of the Holy Spirit in our salvation. I want you to listen. Oh, that God by His Spirit would write these truths upon your heart and upon mine today. We would understand as never before that if any soul is ever saved, it is saved by the grace of God and must be worked in us by God the Holy Spirit, because God the Holy Spirit alone can raise us from the grave of sin. My friend, we find much spoken today about the Holy Spirit, much written about the Holy Spirit. And we hear of those, many in fact, who are seeking the Holy Spirit. We see little of the work of the Holy Spirit in our midst, and I mean that true work, the primary work for which He was sent into the world. For as we read to you from John 16, the primary work for which He came was to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, to reprove of the sin of unbelief, of the righteousness that is needed for poor sinners to stand before God the Father, and to convict of the judgment that every one of us is under, because we are all by nature under judgment with the prince of this world, who is Satan, judged under sin. Yes, we hear and read much today of those who are seeking the Holy Spirit, when they should be seeking Christ, whom the Holy Spirit came to reveal. There are those who are seeking for the power of the Holy Spirit in manifestation, when they know nothing of His powerful work in their souls to break the power of sin. There are those seeking the gifts of the Spirit who have never been made partaker of the greatest gift that He can bestow, and that is a broken heart and a contrite spirit before God. They are those who are seeking the Holy Spirit so they can see and do miracles, but have never had the miracle of the new birth worked in their hearts by the Holy Spirit. My friend, this is the day in which we are living. So I can see the need of this message today, and if I had one message to bring and one message to preach, it would be this one: the necessity of the work of the Holy Spirit in our salvation, if any soul is to be saved. Have you ever taken your Bible and gone through it and see how the Scripture pictures, or how what the Scripture calls, the salvation that God gives to sinners in Christ? It is shown in the Scriptures as being a spiritual work, a work of divine grace, a work of divine power. It is spoken of in Scripture as being the new birth, the creation of a new man. the implantation of a new heart and a new nature. So how can this be wrought in our souls apart from God's Spirit? It is spoken of as the passing from death unto life, the casting down of the strongholds of Satan, the loosing of this prisoner, the delivering of the captive, the giving of sight to the blind, the translating from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and the walking on the road of holiness toward heaven. And my friend, if all of this is accomplished in salvation, and it is, and much more, and if salvation is a spiritual thing, and it is, and if it is discerned and understood only by a spiritual man, and it is, then I ask, how is all of this going to be done? See, and we read in Scripture that the man to whom salvation in Christ is given is dead in trespasses and sins. And our answer, Scripture answers, only by the regenerating power of God's Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:9 tells us of the marvelous work that is to be performed in man who is dead in trespasses and sins. We read that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And I ask, how is such a work going to be performed apart from God's Holy Spirit? And it cannot. I ask again, how is a man going to believe when he does not know what and whom to believe, seeing he has no spiritual eyes with which to see his own sinfulness and the beauty of the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ? And I say he cannot, apart from the work of God's Spirit. I ask again, how is a man going to repent when he has no knowledge of what to repent? How is a man going to flee from the wrath to come when he has no knowledge of his danger as a criminal before a just and a holy God? I ask, how is a man going to seek Christ when he has no idea how to seek him, or of any need that Christ may fulfill for him? I ask, how is a man going to be constrained to seek light when he has no knowledge that he is in spiritual darkness? Or how is a man going to love God when he does not know that he hates him? My friend, these questions can only be answered in the light of God's redeeming grace and the work of God's Holy Spirit in our souls, to make us willing in the day of His power. So I say that the Word of God teaches. And if I had one message to preach, and it would be this, that the Holy Spirit must work in our souls if ever we are to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask again, how is a man going to cry after liberty if he does not know he's in bondage? And how can a man exercise a free will in choosing Christ when his will is enslaved by Satan? How is a man going to seek heaven when he is satisfied to go to hell? How is a man going to walk in the paths of righteousness and true holiness when he is satisfied with the paths of self-will, self-pleasing, self-confidence, and self-righteousness? I say again, the answer to all of these questions is that he cannot, apart from the work of God's Holy Spirit in his soul. And my friend, you and I are in this condition if we're outside of Christ. And the Holy Spirit must work in our hearts to bring us to the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask again, how is a man going to pick himself up by his bootstraps and bring himself to God, seeing he lies dead in trespasses and sins? He cannot, unless a power greater than his own quickens him and makes him alive. And I praise God that that power is the power of God's Spirit, or your speaker would have never been saved, and no man would have ever been saved. And my friend, you could not be saved apart from the grace of God and the power of God's Spirit working in your soul. When we read a scripture like John 5:40, For our blessed Lord said, ye will not come to me that you might have life. My friend, if I cannot will it, then how am I going to come unless my will is made free? And that can only be done by God's Holy Spirit. I read in John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And my friend, how am I going to come except Christ's Spirit, the Spirit of the Father, the third person of the triune God, brood over my dead soul and quicken me and make me alive and draw me by his irresistible grace and power unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when I read in 2 Timothy 2:26 that every sinner outside of Christ is taken captive by Satan at his will, and how can I get out of the clutches of Satan when John 8:44 tells me that ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do? How am I going to come apart from the grace of God and the quickening power of God's Holy Spirit? I say, my friend, it can only be done by the regenerating power of God's Spirit. Let's put all of this together, and let me reason with you just a moment. Will you listen to me? Will you listen to God's word, not my word? But I would like to bring before you the condition of every heart outside of Christ. When we read in John 5:44 that you will not come to me that you might have life, it means that the sinner's will is depraved, and therefore he cannot come to Christ unless a power of divine grace is wrought in his soul by the power of the Holy Spirit. In John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Cannot means that the sinner is helpless within himself to come unless the Holy Spirit draws him unto Christ. 2 Timothy 2:26 says that we're taken captive by Satan at his will. And that means that we're under the will of Satan, the stronger than ourselves. And Satan will not let us go free unless a stronger than Satan comes. And that's the power of God's Spirit, and makes us willing in the day of his power. And then John 8:44, ye are the father, your devil, the devil, and the lust of your fathers ye will do. And my friend, the lust of our father, the devil, we will do until we die and go to hell, unless someone, and that is God the Holy Spirit, sets us free by the power of his own Holy Spirit. Again, the scripture asks the question, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spot? Jeremiah 13:33. If this can be done, then and only then may you do good that are accustomed to do evil. But since an Ethiopian cannot change his skin, nor a leopard his spots, neither can you and I, who are accustomed to doing evil, do good without the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and in our lives. My friend, I know what I'm talking about. This is where God found me. But I praise him for the power of his Spirit. My friend, what I'm trying to prove from all of these scriptures and these questions and answers today is that the work of the Holy Spirit in salvation is absolutely necessary to us if we are ever to be saved. We read in John 6:63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Did you hear those words? The flesh profiteth nothing. The flesh has no part in the work of God. And that's what our Lord told Nicodemus in John 3:36. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Oh, we must be born again by the instrument of the Word of God, in the hands of the Holy Spirit, for all fleshly activity amounts to nothing where the regenerating of dead sinners is concerned. Did you hear what I said? I said that all fleshly activity amounts to nothing where the regenerating of dead sinners is concerned. Are you listening to me? My friend, the logical arguments advanced by the most advanced mind cannot help us. They have hypnotic powers brought to bear upon the will, the touching appeals made to the emotions, the beautiful music and hearty singing that tries to catch the ear. None of these can do the slightest thing to stir dead souls toward the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, it is not the choir, nor the soloist, nor the preacher, but the Spirit that quickens and makes alive. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, John 6:63. The flesh profiteth nothing. Now, I know this is very distasteful to the natural man because it is so humbling to the flesh. I know that. And I know your first impulsion is to turn me off. I know that. But my friend, this is God's Word, that the Holy Spirit came into the world for the express purpose to convince, to convict, and to reprove of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, to take the things of Christ and reveal them unto us. And no one else can do the Holy Spirit's work. He must work in our hearts. He must make us willing in the day of His power. As I said, this is humbling, because the Holy Spirit sets aside all of our natural ability, and He works upon the heart of man to convince of sin, to show him his need of a Savior. He uses means, but He does the work. He uses these feeble lips to proclaim His Word, but He doesn't need me. It is His work by the power of His Spirit that accomplishes it. And I know this. My friend, I can speak to the outer ear, but only God by His Spirit can speak to your inner ear. You'll never hear my voice unless God takes it home to your soul. You'll laugh me to scorn. You'll say, "That preacher's crazy. All I've got to do is believe and it's all done." Yes, it does come to the fact that we do trust Christ, and we do close in with Christ, and we do repent, and we do turn to God from our sins, and we do turn around, and we come with that hatred, we come with that faith, we come casting ourselves upon Christ. But my friend, who makes us willing in the day of His power to bring us utterly and completely to the end of our way as poor, lost sinners, it is God the Holy Spirit, for He alone quickens us and makes us alive. For you see, we are sinners, dead in trespasses and sins, apart from the grace of God. Ephesians 2:1 does not say that the sinner is sick, that he is faint, that he has grown callous and hardened and seared, but it says that he is absolutely spiritually dead. It does not say that he needs to rededicate himself or to turn over a new leaf to be regenerated. It says that he is dead. And my friend, whatever that term death means in connection with the body, it means the same thing in connection with man's soul, viewing it in its relation to spiritual things. And when the body is dead, it is powerless. It is unable to do anything for itself. And I say that Scripture says when the soul of man is dead in a spiritual sense, it must be, if there is any meaning in the figure, utterly and entirely powerless and unable to do anything of and for itself. God must make us willing in the day of His power. Yes, I say, because God's Word says that the work of salvation in the human heart and life is a divine work. For salvation is of the Lord from the beginning to the end. For God's Word teaches it that we are the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:2. And then in 2 Thessalonians 2:13 and 14, These same words are brought out, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, for unto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, in both of these scriptures it is brought out that all is from God the Father, all is through God the Son, and all is applied by God the Holy Spirit to our souls. So we can say with the apostle in 2 Timothy 1:8 and 9, that according to the power of God we have been saved, and call with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Yes, to have a part in this glorious salvation made for poor dead sinners, we must be quickened by the Holy Spirit and made alive in Christ. For us to be made alive in Christ, for us to be made partakers of his design nature, he must plant the incorruptible seed of life in us and bring it forth to everlasting life in Christ, giving us that repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, to reveal Christ to us out of the Holy Scriptures and to give us the witness of the Spirit that we are united to the Lord Jesus Christ and indeed are children of the living God. And my friend, if I had one message to preach, it would be this: let the Lord Jesus Christ work upon the cross to your heart and mine is the greatest work in all the world. And yet it would never be applied apart from God the Holy Spirit's quickening work to make us aware of our need to flee from the wrath to come and to flee unto the Lord Jesus Christ, who poured out his life's blood for the remission of our sins and worked out for us a righteousness that God has accepted, whereby we can stand justified before God. I ask the question, my friend, has this work ever been wrought in your soul? If it has, you'll know it, for God will reveal it unto you by his blessed Holy Spirit. You'll want a copy of this message. We'll be happy to send it to you free and postpaid if you'll write us. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy that you've been with us. Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.